Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The online safety bill will include measures for social media bosses to face jail if they fail to protect kids from seeing damaging content. The bill returns to Parliament later. Here's Rani Govenda from the NSPCC.
We know that self-regulation by tech companies has failed, so the bill's really important for putting duties on these platforms. The bill is coming back into Parliament, and MPs and the government will have the opportunity to strengthen it further to ensure it has even better protections.
Controversial anti-strike legislation is one step closer to becoming law, but the wave of industrial action this winter is continuing. New walkouts have been announced by both teachers and nurses. A new report suggests the UK is lagging behind similar countries in Europe in giving patients access to innovative medicines. And the amount of cash taken out of ATMs increased last year, rising to £83 billion. From Radio News Hub, I'm Edward Breslin.
The Premier League is back, live on Sky Sports. Don't miss out. Get both Sky Sports football channels for £18 extra a month and see all the drama.
Unbelievable!
Class acts.
We are in the presence of greatness.
And comebacks.
What a turnaround!
It's all still to play for. We go again. Only play for football and get both Sky Sports football channels for £18 extra a month. Cancel anytime. Offer ends 26th of January. 31 days notice to cancel. Sky Q required. See sky.com for details.
Colourful. Coming up next, colourful, Julius colourful, on Colourful Radio.
Hello, I'm Dr. Sheon Bakare. If something in your body doesn't feel right, talk to us. The thought it could be cancer can play on your mind, but most people who go for tests find out it's not. Finding out sooner is always better. Whatever the result, your NHS is here for you. Contact your GP practice.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Colorful
Radio.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful
Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you are connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. We're coming to you from the heart of London through Colorful Radio, all the way to where you are, wherever you are. You are host Julius Baluto, and today in the show I'm joined by my great friend Jonas Howell. He's a broadcaster, journalist, and also he does quite a lot. He's got his own show as well on Channel 7, so keep an eye on that one. But he's a great man. We like to talk about Africa, especially me and him, so we never stop. Welcome to the show.
Always a pleasure, Julius.
And in our show today, we are going to focus on a great country of Africa. Actually, it's the biggest most of the time, people say, and I think it's factual, that Democratic Republic of Congo is the size of Eastern Europe. Just one country, the size of Eastern Europe. And then again, something wonderful about this country. It's got huge chunks of farmland. It's got all these forests with gorillas and everything beautiful about Africa. It's got resources, mineral wealth, extensive almost every other corner of Congo. But unfortunately, Congo has not known peace for a long time. We're talking about Congo. It never used to be Congo. This is a country that has changed names over time. And I used to joke with my friends when I was young, telling them, you left Kenya when it was Kenya, and when you went to Europe, it changed its name. So you're no longer a citizen, and it's not your fault. Your country changed name in your absence. Where do you even start? Oh, God. Yeah, Congo. It started as Zaire. It became again Congo. And then it ended up Democratic Republic of Congo. We hope they won't change for the fourth time. Let's keep it real. Stay that way for the sake of continuity. But Jonas, you know, Congo, my God, is despite all the wealth, it's gone through a lot. He's gone through a lot. And today I wanted us to focus. We are just trying to work out or think about the challenges of getting peace in Congo. You know, if we all remember the war, they used to call it World War in Africa because many countries fought inside Congo, supporting different groups. It went on. Sometime I thought it's going to be Africa World War, World War of Africa, you know, Africa versus Africa, you know, it was not great. Yeah. But hear this. This country right now has got so many militia groups. Yes. Where do we start? Alliance of Patriots for Free and Sovereign Congo. We have Bundu dia Congo. We have Kondeko, Congolese National Liberation Front. It doesn't stop there. Democratic Forces for Liberation of Rwanda, inside Congo. We have Forces for Renew War. We have Indarahamwe, which is an extreme group, Islamic group within the Central Africa Republic, also creeping in Congo. We have Katangelis, Tigers. We have Lord's Resistance Army now, spillover from Uganda, but operating within northern part of Congo. We have Mai Mai. We have March 23 movement, M23. It sounded like one of the motorways in the UK. Sometimes when you come to UK, you're like, use M23. Like, no, I don't want to go there. God. It's like they ran out of names. You have Raia Mutomboki, so many militia groups operational in Congo. And also we have FEDEC. So there are many. Now, what is the issue? The issue is that with all these militia groups, they've been fighting for a long time. We have some, you know, recently Congo became a member of East Africa Community, and as an effort to keep peace, all these countries came together, formed a kind of group or commission to come and try to broker peace within the region. And this is, it's been like going on well. Where are we with that? We're going to share a clip. Jonas, before you come in and so we comment, we just want to hear what M23 recently had to say, withdrawing one of the big territory they had already gotten and claimed it as their own. So
we are showing our goodwill, giving handing over Kibumba, then handing over Rumangabo, but we'll never continue to be observers while all this are taking place. So we will react, and we are giving a last warning to the government, to the coalition, for continuing to persecute our people and violating the process.
The question is not about trusting them. The question for us as government is to trust the process. And we know things must be very tough in the ground, but we strongly believe them acting beyond M23.
Jonas, you had that withdrawal, but with a warning. What to make of that?
I mean, it's interesting. One will be, do you sit down with rebels and try to broker a peace deal? If you do that, I mean, you know, in terms of war, where does this put Congo? Where does it put the M23? Now, what the military, you know, the general was saying there is, I think it's good to just put a bit of historical perspective to what we're talking about here. So there's context to what, you know, the blame game between Rwanda and DRC. And the reason why Rwanda has been held accountable is because majority of these soldiers, the rebels, are Tutsis, ethnic group from Rwanda. Now, if you also read reports that we've been, you know, following these issues in East Africa, what we've seen is that some of these rebels actually deserted from the Congolese army. Again, if we go deeper, not long ago, Uganda and Congo signed a deal, a trade deal, as you said, for development and infrastructure. That did not sit well with Kagame, Rwanda. So there's so many issues at play here. Of course, Rwanda will always say that it's protecting its people. Rwanda would not have denied this, I should say, that they have any involvement with, you know, the support of the M23. Now, the M23, Julius, now, you know, following politics and following war, a lot of the time, rarely do you see rebels coming out and speaking with such authority. Usually they're stuck somewhere in the bushes somewhere where it takes a courageous journalist to go out there to try and interview them. And when you read reports coming out, it gives an indication that these are not just your usual rebels. These are rebels with highly sophisticated ammunition that are able to even push back the Congolese National Army. So to suggest that they're just rebels, I think this is one issue that, you know, the Congolese government don't want to even sit down with these rebels, because they're not rebels. If you read other reports, it's saying that what is going on there, the rebels are actually pushing for, you know, more or less fighting a conventional war as opposed to a guerrilla style of warfare. So in a way, you understand, if you understand the dynamics of what is going on in that part of the country, things become more clearer as opposed to why there's a lot of finger pointing towards Rwanda, Paul Kagame, to the point where the US have also gotten involved. The UK have criticized Rwanda's involvement in supporting M23 rebels. So this is why Congo would rather want to engage with Rwanda, but nothing has really happened. Now, these rebels are pushing for inclusion, to be given a seat at the table, to also make the grievances known. And if you listen to the army commander there, Julius, he's saying that essentially what they're doing is protecting their people. Now, they're protecting their people in another country. Rebels with such high sophisticated ammunition should not be taken lightly. So, you know, the fact that the former president of Kenya, Uhuru Kenyatta, is trying to, you know, break a peace deal to bring ceasefire, I mean, it's a good gesture, because the East African bloc getting involved to bring about peace. But in all of this, the people that really struggle, the ones that this has a massive impact, are the people.
This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
The thing is that we have one of the challenges that these peace talks face is the immediate division based on which militia is allied to which country. So yes. When we talk about M23 is being accused, you know, it's alleged that it's being supported by Rwanda. Yet, because it's seen as a Tutsi-fronted militia that seems to be speaking the language of Tutsi and within a different country, which is Congo.
Congo, yeah.
In the same country, Congo, you have another militia group that is known as FDLR. Now, this militia group is seen as allied to Hutu, again, another tribe of Rwanda. They are supposed to have taken part in genocide, 1994.
94, yes.
And therefore, this Milchiam group also is seen in Congo. So Rwanda has also been alleging that FDLR has been attacking Rwanda from Congo.
Congo, yeah.
And just because it's a Hutu-fronted militia group, then the same thing Congo keeps on shouting out M23 because it's allied to Tutsi. Of course, Rwanda, you have Tutsi government. But what surprises me most, Jonas, is the fact that this militia group, they are using weapons of war.
Yes.
Which costs a lot of money. And if it was just a militia group in the bush, you want to understand or you want to ask yourself, where do they get all this armory from? Who is buying? Who is funding? And they're so powerful. Can you imagine, like, M23 has taken territories inside Congo? Yeah,
in Congo, absolutely.
Now they are relinquishing slowly with heavy warning. So that's a dynamic that actually wants us to explore, because I'm really concerned about that, because now with these two push and pull, it's tricky. And you see the anger with which sometime Kagame was picked. And I want, before we go to the next, also to hear a clip where Kagame is talking, you know, Rwanda has been in the forefront, attracting refugees from Europe. Yeah. On the ground in Rwanda. But right now, Kagame is saying Congolese refugees must go back home. They are not welcome in Rwanda.
This is not Rwanda's problem. And we are going to ensure that everybody realizes that it is not Rwanda's problem. And starting with saying, those who think it is Rwanda's problem and not Congo's, first of all, remove these Congolese from here.
Hey, Jonas, there you have it. Congolese are not welcome here. Wow. But Europeans are.
Yes, it's actually sad, Julius. It's actually sad. I mean, I remember a few weeks ago, this is before Christmas, and Kagame actually saying to Felix Tshisekedi of Congo not to get international community involved in what is going on in Africa. And, you know, to a certain degree, Kagame has been hailed as one of the most prominent figures across the continent of Africa. I mean, if you look at his vision for the country, and his tenacity to push forward this, you know, African Continental Free Trade Agreement, getting all Africans to ratify this policy to make sure that the vision of the African Union can come to fruition. And then on the other hand, we see a totally different side to the man. And it's just sad, because what he's essentially doing is throwing innocent people back into the lion's den. Now, the amount of civilians that have died on both sides, the Congolese government blaming the M23 saying that that's not true, the numbers they're giving are just, you know, fabricated, only about 8 stray bullets that killed civilians. In 21st century, if you look at our history, when I say our history, I'm talking about the African history, sub-Saharan Africa, the history, and the history of Rwanda, and the history of Congo, and the suffering of our people, to the point where Rwanda has opened its arms to appeal itself to the international community to say that, listen, we have a safe place here. We're sick and tired of our people making the perilous journeys across the Mediterranean and being rejected and leaving to die in the sea. Bring them here. We will take them. We will accept them. Then the same person turns around and says that if you're going to continue to blame my country then we will send refugees back to where they came from, Africans as such. And I also remember when he made a comment about bringing refugees from the UK to Rwanda, he said he was tired of seeing Africans ending up dying in the seas. These were his words. So it gave a sense that this man actually cares about Africans, not necessarily just Rwandans, but Africans. Then he turns his back on neighboring, these are neighbors, so brothers and sisters, essentially. And these are innocent people. These are innocent people. And for me, sitting in Parliament, it looks as if he was in Parliament, and to hear the clapping of the people in Parliament, because I'm reading that report, he was actually speaking in native language. Then for that particular statement, he said it in Chi, in English, making a point to the international community, I believe, and it's just posturing that this is what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to take this step. And for me, you know, it's just, one, it could easily incite violence against refugees in Rwanda, as tensions have already, you know, gone beyond the level where if common sense does not prevail, then things could potentially get out of hand. For him to say that, because, you know, he's done a lot of work to clean up his image, to be honest with you, and to clean up Rwanda. And every year we celebrate, not celebrate, but remembrance in terms of the Hutu and Tutsi genocide. We remember, you know, because I've been to one of these remembrance events, and it's just heart-wrenching, people sharing their story. And for Kagame to say that, really disappointing, really, really disappointing for him to say that. And I think that, you know, it's a good thing that the Eastern African community bloc are actually trying to bring a resolution to this. And I think international community needs to apply more pressure, because in as much as I do not like the interference and I will not encourage it, but if it goes beyond the remit of the Eastern Bloc, beyond the African Union, then unfortunately they have to, you know, bring about some diplomatic measures that can bring about peace. Because, of course, their interests are also in these countries, and they have to protect their interests. And we don't want it to get messy. So this line of, you know, communication, you know, essentially is war talk, to be honest with you, Julius. It is war, because when war happens, casualties happen to be the people.
Yeah. It's true, indeed. You see the conflict in Congo away from the international community, some countries wrecking billions in the minerals while war is going on. The biggest challenge and the foundation to this crisis are these groups who fled from Rwanda during genocide. We can attribute the presence of M23, who are allied to the Tutsi, FDLR, who are allied to the Hutu. We can attribute their presence in DR Congo to the genocide. And while Kagame is saying that refugees is not Rwanda's problem, I don't know what, if he looks back to history, then he may find out the genesis of it all. And what actually catches my attention is the fact that I'll never forget, you know, like when I interviewed the former ambassador to Rwanda in London. Today is the current Rwandese ambassador to the United Nations, Mr. Clavio Gatete. Way back, I was doing a documentary known as The Wrongs in Africa Today. And when I was interviewing him, he gave me an explanation, because after the genocide normalcy resumed in Rwanda, Rwanda seemed to be very keen. When there was a problem in Africa, yeah, they would be the first one to react. They would send forces to just very fast. So Mr. Gatete said to me, Rwanda had that approach because of what they had gone through, because of when they saw United Nations abandoned them during genocide. And as a country, they had that narrative. They made up their mind. Whenever there's a problem in Africa, we'll be the first to intervene because we know what being left out feels like. So, fast forward 2023, what happened to those thoughts? What happened to that ideology? What happened to Rwanda? Yes, they acknowledge, like even Kagame says, it's a fantastic thing for East Africa community to broker this peace. But practically, when it goes to deeply where the problem lies, it's a different reaction, you see. I don't know what you think about it.
Julius, can we also look at it from this angle? I mean, he probably sees it as a threat to peace and security in Rwanda. Because as you made mention that, you know, these militia groups in Congo, many militia groups in Congo, of course, you know, some are being fronted by the Hutus, right? And, of course, some are also arguing that hence why the M23 have been deployed in that part, the eastern part of Congo. So, you know, for the sake of balance, he could potentially also be sitting back and looking at it from security point of view, that we've been through this crisis before. It took us many decades for this country, for Rwanda, to get to this position right now. And to relax and not show some sort of posturing could be, you know, a huge blow for Rwanda. Because, you know, we talk about Rwanda right now. Really, do you see any negativity attached to Rwanda? Yes, every now and again you hear about the genocide, but everything moving forward has been positive. And when you read things online, you can tell that, you know, the young people supportive of what is happening in Rwanda, especially online, and some that I've had opportunity to speak to. So maybe if we look at it from purely security aspect, maybe
colorful radio.
Now then, Jonas, so far we've seen what's going on. We've seen the key challenges, of course, these militia groups causing fear across the country. Jonas, what happened was when East Africa community began to broker peace, Rwanda was very much welcoming to the idea. But at some point when Congo began to show fears, they were like, Rwanda should not be the one speaking peace here because they support M23. Things went off hook, you know, off the hook. And that was the beginning of mistrust and the talks back and forwards, you know, Rwanda accusing FDLR being causing problems in the country, the same thing M23. So Congo was like, of all the people who can broker peace in Congo, Rwanda should not be one of them. So that was the genesis of the conflict we see kind of escalating. So therefore, although we have, I would say perhaps independent parties involved in the conflict, of course, Kenya has never played any role in terms of whatever it could be accused of supporting this and that. We also have Uganda has actually been seen to be on the same side as Rwanda.
Right.
So, and also before even this, Uganda used to also have its fears because they used to say or allege it was Congo that was giving home to Lord's Resistance Army. Yeah. Led by Joseph Okoni, if you remember him, that guy. So Joseph Okoni. So each country, you see, they've got all these hesitations and fears because of the militia groups. So which way forward then? I mean, the talks are happening, and one of the formula that has been seen to work before was to like all the militia groups to give their arms back to government in amnesty, and be recruited for the real army. I don't know, what are your thoughts? Which way forward?
Yes, I mean, this is what has been, you know, discussed, because it clearly looks as if the militia groups would want to join the military. But, you know, as an outsider looking in, I may be apprehensive about that, because it's almost as if reintegrating rebels, or, you know, let's say, for instance, in Nigeria, for instance, bandits, you know, people that were used to be part of Boko Haram, all of a sudden, you know, amnesty, give up your arms, and you become part of the society again. I mean, I'm not saying it's not anything, I'm not saying it's unheard of or it cannot be accomplished, but you have to be very skeptical about this, because you can't, for one moment in time, you're an enemy, then all of a sudden you become part of the army. You know, a country without a solid, strong enemy is more or less on its knees. And a country that allows its enemy to infiltrate within it, you know, perimeters of its military, then how can the military defend the country? So I don't think that will help. I don't think that will help. I don't think that is the way forward. I mean, at the end of the day, it takes men and women to sit around a table to find resolution, to bring about peace. No matter, you know, if you look historically, every war that's happened, at the end of the day, people sat around a table to find peace. The reason why, you know, people are skeptical about this is because, you know, this peace deal, it's not the first time that this kind of things has been said. I think what has caused it or hindered the progress has been the implementation of the peace deal. I think Congo is too volatile to allow these militia groups to become part of the army. Because in a sense, you know, these, you know, conflict has been there for over two decades. And then all of a sudden they become part of the army. And you know, as we've seen in other parts of the continent, Julius, is out within the armies, they have factions. And before you know it, God knows, a government, a democratically elected government, has been toppled. And then before you know it, it's anarchy. So I wouldn't go for that approach, looking at the volatility of the situation in Congo right now. The way forward would be for the East African bloc, the regional bloc, to keep the dialogue going. Because, you know, this could have massive impact economically for the region. And this is what needs to be considered. In as much as, you know, fighting for territory and trying to posture to show that, you know, you're more or less the bigger power in that region, the most influential in that region, you need to also look at the economical factor. And this is where I'm sure, should talks fail, then I'm sorry, but they need to come together and start looking at sanctions. They really do. And, you know, us as Africans, that's not the first thing we jump to. We give you enough time, process for dialogue, to find solutions. And then if that doesn't work, then that needs to happen. We saw it happen in ECOWAS when, you know, Mali and Burkina Faso, you know, governments being toppled left, right, center. If they cannot find any peace, then that's got to be the next the next way forward. I don't believe for one bit, with tensions as this high, to allow these so-called rebels back into Congo. I don't think that would help, Julius. I really don't think that would help.
Yeah, it's also made more complex because of the international dimension. It's not just a complex issue. You have the interest of involvement of other countries. Of course, you have Uganda talking about presence of Lord's Resistance Army within Congo. And anytime they attacked in Congo, no, it was like we are trying to repel these guys. But you are getting into a sovereign state in a different country and doing that. So
in a way, It's funny because, you know, the moment when you started the introduction, it's almost as if, you know, it's like a Cold War. I mean, we've been made to believe that, you know, the Cold War is no more, and we moved away from it. But in reality, the Cold War is still very much alive. And it looks as if what's happening, you know, if you forget about other militants in that part of the country, in that region, and you look at the Tutsi and the Hutus issue, it's very much alive. And at the end of the day, the way forward is, I mean, let's face it, Julius, any impact in the global economy has a significant impact on countries in Africa, let alone to destabilize a sovereign nation and its surrounding neighbors. It would be too much for the continent to bear right now. I think right now, you know, this situation should escalate to the African Union to be able to bring about peace. And I know that, you know, some of us have criticized the African Union a lot of the time. But this is African issue, and it should be resolved by Africans. We have competent leaders who will be able to reason and find a solution. This should not be left idle for it to get out of hand. We saw what happened in the genocide. The UN turned their backs on Rwanda in the end. So it's high time that, you know, earlier I was talking about international communities. Of course, that's another avenue. But we should be able to resolve this issue, whatever the issue may be. At the end of the day, if M23, their issue in particular with the National Army of Congo is for their citizens to be protected, I'm sure they can sign an agreement, and it has to be followed accordingly. Of course, then the issue of sovereignty comes in. You happen to be in our territory. How do you? I mean, look, situations arises, but at the end of the day, like I said, it's a matter of leaders sitting across the table from each other and finding solutions. We don't want another Ukraine and Russia on the continent. It won't benefit nobody.
You'll be so shocked also, you may find out some of these militia groups may begin to ally themselves to the international conflict.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we just had the Ghana president during the U.S.-African Leadership Summit saying to the U.S. that Vanya, the mercenaries from Russia on the borders of Ghana in Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso toppled, yes, you know, an elected leader was toppled by the rebels, by the military, and the military within itself also toppled the military. And now we're seeing these missionaries on Ghana, seeing these militant missionaries on their border. So this is where it gets complicated and it gets messy. And in the end, it is Africa that loses.
Indeed. And writer, novelist, world-renowned novelist, Wole Soyinka. No, it's Chinua Achebe from Nigeria. He wrote a novel known as Things Fall Apart. The lines that I always remember are the ones that says, the center cannot hold, things fall apart. Now, yes. When you see Congo as a country, it's not been holding. See, the thing is, we have all these international interests. Never forget that. All the mineral wealth, you know, some countries in the West, their mouths are watering. They're full of, you know, like appetizers, and they're like, let's get in there. And, you know, some countries, Jonas, they thrive on crisis. At the instability of African countries, mm-hmm. some Western nations mm-hmm. have made billions. And that's a statement yes. you can pursue yeah. and get evidence yeah. for. So when you look into Congo the way it is right now, with the center not holding, do you think maybe then, as you're saying, we need to escalate this to Africa Union level, and maybe intervention, or maybe we say, yeah, right now is within the East Africa community. They've done everything they can. And I think they've really done well, because not only are they talking, but also they've intervened militarily. They've sent forces yes. in yes. Congo. which we just never been done before. And now this thorny issue of Congo accusing Rwanda, Rwanda accusing Congo, has been the very serious issue. But as you say, probably something they have to sit down, keep talking about it until all these issues are resolved. But then again, we need a framework. This is what I'm thinking. I don't know what you think. A framework that allows East Africa community to for Rwanda not to talk about Hutus in Congo, and for Congo not to talk about Tutsis in Rwanda. So we say, where people find themselves, if it's Tutsi or Hutu, you find yourself in Congo, you are there, settle there, nothing to do with it again anymore with Rwanda. And Rwanda, they find themselves with refugees from Congo, which is actually a fact of life. They don't need to chase them, let them settle there. And, you know, and that if they can come up with a framework that can enforce, you know, that and take away the harms from all these militia groups, I think we'd be getting somewhere.
Colorful radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
And there's this Prussian army general who goes by the name of Karl von Clausewitz in the 18th century. He studied war and he was mesmerized by how Napoleon was able to gather such military to be able to defeat his enemies, right? And he studied war, what war was about, and he wrote, you know, theoretically and talking about you know, the nature of war and how war had changed and how war would change, will evolve. You know, and then there's one phrase where he says war adapts to its surrounding. So the way war used to be fought back in the days compared to now has changed drastically. So what he said still holds today. I mean, it's an ongoing debate. But he said something, you know, to be able to accomplish successful war. War is by design, okay, to go to war, the decision is determined by politics, the politicians. Secondly, to be able to wage a successful war, you need the people's support to support you. And then thirdly, which he talks about the army, I wouldn't go into it too tough. I would just stick with the politics and the people. So let's just, you know, peradventure, what you're suggesting, which I agree, by the way, because the moment you keep talking about Hutus and Tutsis, it just reinforces the narrative, the negative connotations surrounding what happened in 1994. But if the Tutsis, or let's say, you know, the people who find themselves in Congo and realizes that the people that actually fight the killing their citizens are of Hutus, it would be very difficult for them to separate, you know, the support they're getting from the people. Because already they've been able to gather the momentum within the people for the people to believe that they're fighting on their behalf. It's a just war to support what it is that they do it. So on a wider scale, for this to be actually resolved, also the people of Rwanda, the people of Congo, will play a significant role in bringing about a resolution in this. And all the other militant groups in Congo, if the people of these people, you know, the origins of these people in Congo speak up, there will be change. If Rwandans realize that the position that Kagame has taken It's not something to their benefit. Rwanda, as has been alleged, Rwanda, quote unquote, you know, supporting M23. Rwanda cannot keep doing that, because what that happens is when the people turn against the government in itself will be rendered powerless, whether the government likes it or not. Then you realize that domestic issues has a massive impact on foreign policy. So, in as much as we're discussing this, I think Rwandans themselves also need to play an active role in this and say this, and say that this is not what we want. Congolese ought to say the same thing. This is not what we want, and put pressure on government. And I think sometimes it takes a lot of activism for these things to be realized. And this is why, you know, the international community find a way to get in, because before you know it, NGOs are talking about issues happening on the ground. NGOs, which a lot of them are espionage, on the ground doing the bidding of governments, you know, foreign governments bidding on the ground. These are the ones that are reporting on what's happening on the ground. And the real people are not getting involved. So I'm all about Africans resolving African issue. Hence why we're having this discussion. Because whatever happens in these two countries, neighboring countries, will suffer in the end. And we don't wonder. Already economies are crumbling. And having other countries, you know, refugees fleeing into your country, it's not an easy thing. So I would, you know, push for, yes, that framework, which I think that if the people get involved, can be achieved. But let's not just leave it to the African Union. Let's not just leave it to the politicians. We all need to get involved and take a strong stand against Kagame's words that he uttered. Take a strong stance against it. If, as has been alleged, that he's supporting M23, if that's the case, speak against it. Speak against it, and vice versa in Congo. And the moment the politicians realize that they're not getting the support of the people, Julius, they will think twice. They will think about what it is that they're doing. Because you're only as strong as the people who support you.
That's very true. That's very true. And also there should be a lot of public information, because what actually perpetuates crisis is lack of knowledge. Like if you were to speak to the masses of people who are not very much aware in how politics are played up, is quick to blame one group of people over the other without facts or even anything, just because these people don't have information. And I think it's going to be very important for platforms, that public platforms to be used to educate people, to say, yeah, fine, genocide happened. There was spillover of Rwandese people, both Tutsi and Hutu, into Congo, which is understandable, as if they were in another country, and whether Burundi or where there was peace, that must have been the case, or even Kenya or Uganda, wherever they went, that's a fact of life. And now to begin to focus on the division between the two in different countries doesn't really make sense, because, like, yeah, you're in Congo, settle. That's it. If you're in Rwanda, settle. End of story. You don't have to keep fighting, you know. It's meaningless to keep fighting.
Absolutely.
But I know, because of Jonas, what I've seen the narrative from also the West, they don't seem to help a lot, because a lot of analysis get done by the Westerners, but the situation on the ground is totally different. So international community also has to be careful how far they go to accuse Rwanda of supporting M23. Because actually that narrative can be the one that is becomes the hindrance to the peace, achieving of peace. The more you feel that, you are putting Rwanda at defense.
Yes. I mean, if you read the reports now, you know, due to the nature of the job that we do, we have to do our diligence in doing our research. And one of the main factors from the international community, the UN, United Nations in particular, are blaming the fact that M23 rebels were able to shoot down a UN helicopter, saying that there's no way they could be in possession of such ammunition, other than being supported by, dare I say it, allegedly, Rwanda. Also, apparently, they have night visions that, you know, they literally in a conventional war. And I'm sure the UN are aware of Rwanda's, you know, military capabilities. They understand what is going on, but we also need to take them with a pinch of salt. If
don't understand the accusation, don't stop with Rwanda, because also Rwanda has accused MONUSCO, who's a UN arm, working with FDLR.
Yes, absolutely. And then it goes back, and this is the interesting part. It's so complex and it's so complicated, you know. And you realize, that's what I was saying earlier on, that Rwanda may feel as though, you know, this is a threat to its peace and security. Yes. And a lot of the times we realize that these proxy wars that tends to happen in other countries, you know, there are major players behind it. And so, and this is why it's baffling for me. I couldn't comprehend why Kagame will all of a sudden change his stance on refugees. There must be something more to this than, you know, we're being told or we're seeing from what is going on. And I'm very skeptical when, you know, I'm reading articles written or published by the West, and you need to just take it with a pinch of salt, because, you know, a lot of the times they like to sensationalize some of these things and keep pushing the negative, you know, narrative.
The most fundamental right is the right to life. Translated to each individual, one life is too many to lose. And also, in our own way, the way we talk, you only live once. But life happens once, and that's all you got. And therefore, probably in my argument would be like, it is the most important thing for each government, whether Rwandese government or Congolese government, or even governments that are involved in brokering peace across Africa, to always remember the most fundamental right is the right to life, because you live once and that's it. And they have to protect, because if they protect lives, then we say they are doing their job. And they are not sleeping on the job. So we end it there. Jonas, it's always a pleasure to have you. Appreciate your contribution. And to our listeners,
colorful radio.
Yo, check it, lie. Pink or purple notes, range of votes, no way I'll be late for the flight. 10 for the day and I'm hitting it, hey, one more, we're making a killing tonight. No one to stop it, deals, I copped it, liking the looks and I'm making a mind. Factory watches, emerald day, they're changing the face and we're making the time. Letting it ping, calling you missing, there's no way she's letting it ring. Dialing tones, don't know my phone, there's hellos as soon as it reaches a sim. Bro's too tough, can't reason with him, he's moving, wait, no time for a gym. Been in this ting since a kid was a prince, man some moose, I'm fit for a king. Pink or purple notes, range of votes, no way I'll be late for the flight. 10 for the day and I'm hitting it, hey, one more, we're making a killing tonight. No one to stop it, deals, I copped it, liking the looks and I'm making a mind. Factory watches, emerald day, they're changing the face and we're making. She loves digital dash, we were holding notes, but now we got digital cash. Bro made a quick jib in a trap today, I know that he's bringing a stack. Crypto wallets, a Merc is a GLE, that man that taught digital cap. Verbal abuse online, taught lows for the net, we'll make him do digital laps, it's a digital fact. You don't do what we do, they got minimal racks. School days hitting the strip for some wings with an axe. Now we're chilling in hacks. 4K exchange, what I did on my first. I guess love changed, now we're bringing them plaques. Chocolate faces, watching my watch red day. They freeing the digits for man. Pink or purple notes, range of votes, no way I'll be late for the flight. 10 for the day and I'm hitting it, hey, one more, we're making a killing tonight. No one to stop it, deals, I copped it, liking the looks and I'm making a mind. Factory watches, emerald day, they're changing the face and we're making the time. Pink or purple notes, range of votes, no way I'll be late for the flight. 10 for the day and I'm hitting it, hey, one more.
Honey, where they all be? Anything you tell me, I didn't believe her. Showing me around like I lost my way. Telling all your friends and I may be bail. Baby, see me, I don't believe her. know now. If you don't love me, tell me, make I know now. If you show me, make I know now. If you don't show me, oh, make I know now. If you don't love me, make you no talk, say you love me, oh. Aye. If you don't need me, oh, oh, nobody talk, say you need me, oh.
Let's go.